Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Yeah, that's Kevin Stefanski, Browns head coach, talking about me, Bart Winkler. It is the Bart Winkler Show. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Stefanski talking about Shedeur Sanders, which I have a new favorite activity right now. It's open every link to every mock draft, because I get all these different newsletters, whether it's like The Athletic or NFL.com or, you know, SI or whatever. Carlos's beat on the street.
What's that?
That he sends out. So I get all these different newsletters, and whenever there's a mock draft, I click and I control F for Shedeur Sanders because I want to see where people are taking him, and it's different every time. 2, 3, 2, 3, 15, 30, 2, 3. Not a lot of ones. Seems to be Cam Ward, Tennessee, seems to be happening. But the Shedeur question is a big one in terms of where he's going to go. Now, the NFL draft is coming up in 3 weeks, 4 weeks, so we're getting closer. We're getting closer, and it's going to put the pressure on some of these teams, I think, to have to make this decision. Now, the teams have been coming out and sort of trying to misdirect you, and I'm calling BS on a lot of it. In fact, let me no longer bury the lead of the point I want to make here. I am saying right now, and this is going to be one of those things that I say. Remember I said the NCAA tournament's going to be chalk, and then I put Clemson to the Final Four in my bracket. Stupid. No. I am going to say something on the air and then say it with my money. Because I think there's going to be not one, not two, not three, four quarterbacks taken in the first round of this draft. Four quarterbacks. Who are the quarterbacks? I don't know. Who are the teams that are going to take them? Not sure yet. But I'm thinking four quarterbacks get taken in the first round. The Titans come out, and they say franchise quarterbacks are priceless, but we're open to everything at this point. We've been consistent with that approach from the get-go. No, you're not open to everything. You are keeping a little tiny door open in case somebody offers you the moon and the stars, which they're not gonna, because they know you want the moon and the stars. They're not that trade, whatever trade you think you're going to get, that's going to say, all right, fine. We don't want Cam Ward. We'll take this package. It's not available. You're not going to get it. It's not coming. It's not happening. Everyone knows you love Cam Ward. Everyone knows you're not going to trade out of the pick unless it's for way more to justify you not taking Cam Ward. Nobody's making that offer. The Browns. Yeah, you know, if we take a guy, he's got to be whatever. And Jimmy Haslam at least coming out and admitting that they were wrong about Deshaun Watson. Oh, how brave of you to admit it now when you owe him $46 million each in the next 2 years and he probably will never play for you again. Joe Shane, Giants GM, setting the bar very high for a quarterback. If you're taking a guy where we're picking, you like that guy to be able to be a franchise quarterback that can win. The ultimate goal is to win a Super Bowl. If you're taking a guy that high, they got to be able to check those boxes. Okay. All right. So here's what I think goes down in the NFL draft. This is where I'm at right now. First of all, there's probably going to be a line when I say I put my money on it. There will probably be a line that says over under quarterbacks in the first round, and that will be set at 2.5. Because the conventional wisdom is that Cam Ward's going to go number one, and Shadur's going to go 2 or 3, and if he falls even further, it won't be out of the first round. So he would be number 2. And then 2.5 would be if somebody takes one late, or if somebody, you know, trades up for one, and that would be 3. But I would take the over-under at 3.5. I think it's very possible, to the point where I would bet, gosh, what would I bet? Well, you know what? I got $15 in free play at the local casino. I'd put my $15 of free play on this. I'd put my $15 of free play on the over-under. I don't know what that will net me, but it at least is something. And I don't lose anything because it is free play, but I'm risking something. So here's how the draft is going to go, calling this a week out. This is the QB-only mock draft, still not giving you every team and who they're drafting, but giving you enough information to have a prediction that I think I can stand on. And that prediction is 4 quarterbacks in the draft. First round. Pick number 1, Tennessee Titans, Cam Ward, no-brainer. That is happening. That is happening no matter what they try to convince you. And I don't even think they're trying that hard to convince you it's not happening. Again, this is like keep the door open, maybe kind of stuff. This is the least effort ever put into a bluff that I've ever seen. They're gonna call the hand, and then someone goes, "Really? You got something?" And the guy goes, "No. But if you guys want to call, I don't have anything. But if you want to play, I mean, maybe I do. Maybe I'll catch a river. It's a 2-7 off suit." They are taking Cam Ward. They're taking him number 1. Number 2, I do believe that Shadur goes to either Cleveland or the Giants. But I think he goes to Cleveland. I am going to take Shadur going to Cleveland. The thing with Shadur not going to Green Bay for the draft is a little bit of a, like, should that be a tell? Does he have enough information that he's not going to get drafted high and he doesn't want to be embarrassed? He'd rather be embarrassed with the camera in his living room than actually in the green room in Green Bay. But I think when we get closer and the Browns have an opportunity to draft a quarterback, they will draft a quarterback. Are they trading for Kirk Cousins? What else is there? Are they getting Aaron Rodgers? Are you starting Kenny Pickett? I don't think they're doing any of those things. And while they have a guy that they are forced to be paying $46 million to the next 2 seasons, this is the time where you also have a quarterback that you're paying very, very little to. It's one of the things that the Vikings could have kept Sam Darnold because, yeah, you're still paying one guy a lot, but you're paying the other guy not a lot in J.J. McCarthy. They're choosing to go with J.J. McCarthy. The Falcons, I thought, made a good decision last year in drafting Michael Penix Jr. Yes, they paid Kirk a lot of money, and maybe retroactively you don't do that, but when you're paying one guy a lot and you're paying another guy not too much, it didn't really rock the salary cap boat, and it gave you another option. So I think Cleveland, the way that these first-round contracts work, is when you draft a guy, you get him for 4 years. In any round, you can sign him to a 4-year deal, but these first-round guys are eligible for a 5th-year option. Now, the 5th-year option can be expensive, but also it can be a nice tool to see if you want to continue with the progress on a guy. Or you could decline it and then give the guy a big contract later and really screw up. Giants did that with Daniel Jones. So you have to do it the right way. You got to do it the right way. But I think that that can go a long way for a team that knows they've got 2 years of salary cap hell. They can get another guy in there, even though that guy's not going to play. They can get a guy in there, and they can start to bring him along. I would think Shadur beats out Kenny Pickett in camp, but even if you don't want to start him right away, you know, the Browns are not making the playoffs this year, but you've got your quarterback. Unless some of these teams try to go galaxy brain and say, no, we want to be bad now because we want Arch Manning next year. I just think the risk of that is so great. It's so great that it's not worth trying to pull off that kind of move. And hey, you know what? Maybe take Shadur, and if you're number one next year, just take Manning. Who cares? Cardinals did that a few years ago when they took Josh Rosen, and then they changed course and took Kyler Murray. I mean, it's a rookie contract. Yeah, you wasted a pick. Okay. Big deal. I know it's not a big deal, but with quarterbacks, I don't mind you taking a swing, and if it doesn't work out, adjusting quickly. I don't mind that. You're not taking Shadur, under this example, expecting him to fail. But if you take him, and after 1 year you're like, this guy sucks, we screwed up, it's not going to cost you as much to retain him and also draft another guy. You're not trying to be bad. You were just bad. And now you're in this position again. And now you can get a guy again. And maybe you trade the other guy. You're not going to get the same assets for him. But it's not the worst thing in the world, because you're not paying him an extraordinary amount of money. If you sign and trade for Deshaun Watson and give him $260 guaranteed, that's a lot different than if you draft Shadur and after 1 year, you've already decided, no, a lot different. So Cam Ward's going 1 to Tennessee. Shadur is going either 2 or 3. I think the Giants are very comfortable where they're at right now, not having to take a quarterback. If Shadur goes off the board at 2, I feel like the Giants are going to be, oh, darn. Now we have to get Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter? Jeez, man. And I think they'll be satisfied with not having to make the either-or decision, that the decision will be made for them. And they'll probably be bad. And they can get a guy next year, or they can get a guy later on. You know what? They could potentially get a guy in this first round. So number one is going to be Cam Ward. That's my prediction. That's not even a prediction. That's a spoiler. Shadur, I like it either 2 or 3. I'm probably 80-20. He goes 2. If both teams pass on him, then you could see teams start to trade a little bit. Or you could see maybe one of these other teams that has a quarterback still say like, eh. Or a team that's maybe not totally sure. Are we entirely sure that the Jets, if he fell to 7, wouldn't take him? Are we entirely sure that the Dolphins at 13 wouldn't take him? I don't know. I don't know that we're entirely sure. There's a lot of teams that they're in the teens and the, you know, early top 10 picks that it seems like they don't need a quarterback. But at some point, I would think somebody might trade up. So I'm going right now with Cam Ward 1, and then Carter potentially going 3, or Hunter, and I'm going to put Sanders in at 2. So Ward 1, Sanders 2. So, but I said 4 quarterbacks are getting drafted. Well, where's number 3 and 4 come in? Number 3, Pittsburgh, number 21, and I like that to be Jackson Dart. I like that to be Jackson Dart out of Ole Miss. I still believe Rodgers is coming. I believe he is coming this summer. And so the Steelers quarterback room, and Mike Tomlin talked about it, he says he's actually comfortable with not knowing what the hell they're going to do.
I'm really comfortable with being unsettled this time of year, to be quite honest with you. It's about talent acquisition. We got two means of main means of acquiring talent, free agency in the draft. We multitask. We do both. Those needs that we fulfill in free agency, we do so there, and when we don't, we fulfill it in the draft.
And those means are not over. Free agency did not end the day it started. The draft hasn't happened yet. Even with the Giants, they didn't sign a quarterback the first week. Now their quarterback room is Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston as a part of it. So I think the Steelers are going to look at number one. And I talked about this the last time I brought this up. Because I would think in many cases, the Steelers seem to be a team that would do what they did maybe with Pickett or Rudolph or these guys in the past is, you know, not like jump at him right away, maybe take another guy, another value guy, maybe a different guy that slipped, a different position they like, and then in round two potentially take that quarterback. But they don't have a round two pick. And it's not just that they don't have a round two pick. They don't have a round two pick because they traded for DK Metcalf, a wide receiver who needs a quarterback to throw him the football. So I think when the Steelers get to that point, I like them to draft at 21. I like them to draft Jackson Dart. And then quarterback number four is going to be interesting because I think there's a lot of teams that are totally okay with Jalen Milroe on day two, whether it's the second round or the third round. Jalen Milroe out of Alabama. Yeah, we're good. We can get him day two. Out of Louisville, Tyler Shuck, who's actually part of the same high school class as Trevor Lawrence, but now he's 25 years old. He played three seasons at Oregon and then Texas Tech and then a seventh year. He was able to get in Louisville. One of the analysts for the NFL Network, Greg Cassell, says he's showing better tape than Sanders or Dart. So he could be a guy. I don't think we get into the Will Howards or the Quinn Ewers, but Milroe could be a guy or Shuck could be a guy. So I don't know which guy it will be, and I don't know which team it will be, but my fourth quarterback that I think gets drafted is somebody that trades into the first round to get a quarterback before day one is done. So I am taking the Bart Winkler quarterback-only mock draft with some details missing. I'm taking Cam Ward at one to Tennessee. I am taking Sanders at two to Cleveland. I'm taking Jackson Dart at 21 to the Steelers. And then in one of these final five picks, Lions, Commanders, Bills, Chiefs, Eagles, I think somebody's going to jump up and take a quarterback. Now, could that be the Giants? Could the Giants let it slide or say, oh, no, we didn't get one, and then trade back in and get a guy? Because just like they burned themselves with the Daniel Jones option all those years ago, by trading back in to the first round, you get yourself into that fifth round option or that fifth year option territory. If any of these guys wait till day two, if the Giants wait till day two and take a quarterback, any one of these guys at pick 34, they've got the second pick on day two, they have them for 4 years. If they trade up to 28, 29, 30, okay, probably given another pick in the process. I don't think it's going to cost you an arm and a leg, but now you've at least given yourself that fifth-year option where you can give yourself more time to evaluate, or you can get that guy in and maybe get him cheaper in the long run. So there could be a team that does something like that. Even the Saints, I'm just looking at teams that draft right away. The Saints are at 40. You know, the Jets, they've got Justin Fields, but that's pretty much a one-year deal. They're at 42. They could trade up. I'm just trying to see if there's a team that it's not going to cost them too much to do that, but I do think that a team is prone to trade up. So I'm going to take Cam Ward 1, Sanders 2, Dart at 21, and then a team to trade in. And I am taking, right now, four quarterbacks in the first round of the 2025 NFL Draft. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Much more to get to. I want to take a look at some of these over-unders in the NFL. Those numbers came out. Some interesting ones for sure. Give you an update on the women's Final Four and discuss what the Yankees were batting with over the weekend and for the foreseeable future. Interesting developments there. 888-710-4ISN. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Brayton, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Brayton wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Oh, you know what I just remembered was on today? Is the college basketball crown. That tournament that just started today. It's not the NIT. It's not the CBI. It's the College Basketball Crown. It's in Las Vegas. And basically Fox made it just so they could have some programming this week. So teams that haven't played in a couple of weeks are in the first round of this tournament. Right now, if you're looking for something to watch, Washington State's up 18-12 on Georgetown. Oh, Butler beat Utah 86-84. Wow. Boise State's the favorite. They beat George Washington 89-59. And Nebraska beat Arizona State 86-78. There are more games starting tomorrow at 3 o'clock Eastern, 11 o'clock Pacific. So if you're looking for a full day of college basketball on your TV, you could have had it today, and you can have it again tomorrow, starting with DePaul, 14-19, against Cincinnati, 18-15, as they are playing for the first ever college basketball crown. Now, the actual tournament that you saw gave us four number one seeds advancing. You had Auburn topping Michigan State 70-64. There's been a lot of confidence that Bruce Pearl has had. He's been very animated and very boisterous about his team. He talks about why he's been confident in his guys all season.
I told our guys right now, we haven't beaten a team yet that I thought was better than us. And that's why we're the overall number one seed. And now we're going to the Final Four where there are 4-1 seeds. And I think the four teams that are advanced, I think there are four best teams in the country. That doesn't obviously always happen.
Wild game between Florida and Texas Tech. Florida is going to take on, or Florida was down. And then they rallied to beat Texas Tech. Todd Golden reacting to the wild scenes.
At the end of the day, you know, great teams are as good as their players lead them, and Walter's done a great job all year that way. Tommy's played his tail off for us across every game this season, and I'm really proud of these guys for the way they stepped up and made two big threes each down the stretch. I think we finished the game on a 17-4 run that allowed us to win and would not have happened without these guys next to me.
Todd Golden, of course, the coach of Florida. They already saw Auburn. They went to Auburn this year. They beat them 90-81. So this is a rematch on that side of the bracket. That will be the first game on Saturday, CBS with the coverage. Duke topped Alabama 85-65. John Shire has said it's been all about balance for this team and their success.
We've always thought about doing things differently. I think the key to this team, one, is you bring in the right people as freshmen, but then you have great balance. You know, Tyrese is a junior, Caleb coming back, Sion, Mason, Malik. That balance is huge. And I think that was really important for us in the offseason to add that, in addition to really mature freshmen who are loose, confident, competitive. and not fazed by, you know, this environment.
And then they're going to take on, Duke's going to take on Houston in the nightcap. Houston, it's been a really good culture that Kelvin Sampson has built there. He took over when they were in the American Athletic Conference all the way back in 2014. And they got to the second round in the 18 tournament and then the Sweet 16. Then there was no postseason with COVID. Then they made a Final Four, an Elite Eight, and a Sweet 16, and a Sweet 16. So when there's been tournaments, and including this one, they've been in the last seven, and now they're getting back to a Final Four for the first time in a few years. Prior to Sampson getting there, between 2017 and 1993, Houston was in the NCAA tournament. They were in March Madness one time. And now they have certainly, under him, built a culture. He explains what went into that.
I learned a long time ago, if you don't want problems, don't recruit them. I don't recruit entitlement kids. There's no way that I recruit a kid unless I know that he'll buy in to the way we do things here. But because of the success of this program, every kid that we're recruiting knows exactly what it is he's getting into. You know, they research us as much as we research them.
Kelvin Sampson is in his 32nd season as a collegiate coach. Bruce Pearl at Auburn, 21 years. Todd Golden, Florida, 6 years. John Shire, third year at Duke. It will be a first-time national champion coach this year between Sampson, Pearl, Golden, and Shire. Shire did win as a player in 2010, but as a coach, somebody's going to be able to cut the nets for the very first time. Some of these guys with a little bit longer road to get there. Some of these guys, you know, not so much. Golden, I think, is younger than me, but it's going to be a first-time guy being able to get up that ladder when all is said and done in San Antonio. David in Buffalo, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Hello, David.
Hey, Bart, how you doing tonight, man?
Good, what's up, bud?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, man, about the Final Four here. I think this year, you know, everybody's kind of complained about, you know, how there's no Cinderella, and, you know, it's a little bit different with the NIL, and these blue blood teams are winning. But I think that's good, you know, because to me, like, I'll be honest with you, man, I don't really follow college basketball that closely anymore until this time of year. And if you've got, sure, you know, Duke in there, they're a villain. They're a lot like the Yankees, like you talked about in the last hour. Like, a lot of people, you know, can't stand the Yankees. But then there's a lot of people that love the Yankees. And I think that's exactly what Duke is. So I think there's going to be a ton of people rooting for Houston. And I listened to an interview that Coach Sampson did today on another network, and he did a really, I mean, he just comes off as a really likable guy. So I think that's definitely an interesting storyline. And then I think just the way the SEC, you know, everybody looked at this, how they were a football conference. And I think this year, the way their basketball teams have stepped up and played, you know, at so many different times of the year, it's been fun to see that, you know. So I think all these good teams, number one seeds playing well, at the end of the day, I think it's good for the health of the sport.
Well, it's going to determine whether, David, thanks for the call, we get a good Final Four or not, as I think the complaint about this tournament from a fan perspective has been, where have been all the good and close games? Now, there have been some, but overall, this tournament on the, you know, boring meter is leaning more towards not as exciting than you would hope to see. There hasn't been really the upsets, and then even when the big schools have been matched against each other, you know, we saw some blowouts between Tennessee and Houston and Duke and Alabama. The KenPom ratings, again, these are a rating system that has been utilized to determine who is the best in college basketball for the last 30 years. All four Final Four teams this year are top 10 in all of the 30 years they've used this. In all of the 30 years, this year's Duke team is number 2, Houston is number 6, Florida is number 8, Auburn is number 10. What the KenPom ratings are telling us is that these are 4 of the 10 best teams to play college basketball since 1996. And if that's the case, we could be in for a hell of a Final Four. So, yes, it has not been the most riveting, the most exciting, the most entertaining. If your team's in it, you don't care. But for most people, it's been very chalky and there hasn't been a lot of chaos. We could at least be primed for some very, very good games this Saturday. A 1, a 1, a 1, a 1 make up the final four. First time since 2008 that that's happened. In the women's bracket, it's a 1, a 1, a 1, and a 2. South Carolina beating Duke yesterday, UCLA beating LSU. Earlier tonight, you had Texas beat TCU in an interstate matchup. And then USC, a favorite in this tournament, losing Juju Watkins, able to win without her up until when they couldn't. Paige Beckers tonight, 31 points, and they advance. So the women's Final Four will be on Friday, actually. They started a little, or they ended that later, and they'll start earlier. So Friday, we'll have Texas and South Carolina, and then we'll have UConn and UCLA, those games to be played in Tampa. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Let's get an update. Here is Marco Belletti. All right, so here's what's going on with these torpedo bats. The Yankees have these bats that look like bowling pins, where they're thicker where the label is. So many times guys were swinging and a little flare, you know, oh, I didn't really get the barrel on the bat. That could have been a smash, or a smash could have been a home run. Well, those kind of things can happen now because they're changing the way the bats are made, and it's all legal. And this really started to garner attention. Some of these Yankees were using them on Thursday on their home opener, opening day against Milwaukee. It was a 4-2 game. So, it wasn't crazy. But then on Saturday, the Yankees won 20-9. And the game started with three straight home runs, which has happened before. But on three straight pitches, the first three pitches of the game, all former MVP winners to boot, Paul Goldschmidt, Cody Bellinger, and Aaron Judge. So as the broadcast went on, and as people started to hear about this game, they started to see, and word started to spread, that the bats looked different. You know, when you have a bat, you grip it, and then it gets thicker at the top. Well, these bats they're normal, and then they're thick, and then they're not as thick. And Aaron Leanhart was working in the front office. He was a minor league hitting coordinator for the team. League-wide batting average was terrible, so he started asking the hitters, what do you need? What can I do? How can I help? Because players were starting to get frustrated that the pitching had gotten so good and there was nothing that they could do offensively to counter it. All these pitchers coming up with new pitches. You know, we watch Pitching Ninja, and it's like, oh my God, these guys are developing, and the batting average is going down, and it's just terrible and awful and making the game worse. So what can we actually do? So this guy is a hitting instructor, but he was also MIT educated as a physics professor at the University of Michigan. He realized with strikeouts at an all-time high, hitters wanted to counter that by making more contact. The easiest way to do that was to increase the size of the barrel on their bat. So that sounds great in theory, but there's a little bit of a worry. The weight increases, it slows down the speed. You're negating the gains that a larger sweet spot would give you. So he started to counter the problem in a different way. He told players, and this is where I hope I don't lose you, every bat has a wood budget. I'm already worried I lost you. It's a specific amount of weight, 31 or 32 ounces, to be distributed over a specific length. So how do you do that? Well, they created the bowling pin bat, which we're now calling the torpedo bat, which optimizes the most important tool in baseball, the bat, by redistributing weight from the end of the bat toward the area 6 to 7 inches below its tip, where Major League Baseball players strike the ball. So instead of the big weight being at the end of the bat, that's when you crank those home runs, most swings, most players hit it actually a little lower than that. So why don't we make that thicker? Well, can you do that? MLB Rule 3.02 states, the bat shall be a smooth round stick, not more than 2.61 inches in diameter at the thickest part, and not more than 42 inches in length. The bat shall be one solid piece of wood and must not have a cup at the tip deeper than an inch. Bat grip substances can also go longer than 18 inches from the bottom of the handle. So all that jargon is just a way to say, yeah, there's nothing in that rule that states just maneuvering where you put the thicker part is illegal.
6 inches to the left, 6 inches Jez, to the right.
Jez Chisholm's bat is really thick. And what they did was they did a study. This all traces back to a study they did on Anthony Volpe, where it seemed like every single ball he hit was on the label. So they changed it so that the place where he hit the ball would actually be the thicker spot. And guess what? It worked. The Yankees tied a major league record with 15 home runs over their first three games. 9 of those came from 5 different Yankees who had this bat. So yeah, Aaron Judge doesn't have the bat. He had 4 homers over the weekend. But Chisholm has the bat. He had 3 home runs. Anthony Volpe has the bat. He had 2 home runs. Austin Wells has the bat. He had 2 home runs in the series. Cody Bellinger and Paul Goldschmidt both had those home runs to start the game. Trevor McGill of the Brewers said, I think this is terrible. I feel like this is something used in slow pitch softball. Maybe it's Bush League, maybe it's not. But it's the Yankees, so they'll let it slide. Reese Hoskins, for what it's worth, member of the Brewers, said, I'm not a physicist, but how could I not want to look into it more? And apparently, some of the Brewers have ordered these bats, and other players around the league are already starting to pop up by giving these bats a try. Again, not everybody on the Yankees is using these bats. Aaron Judge is not. Aaron Judge does not need a change in a bat. His bat seems to work pretty good with the dozens and dozens of home runs he hits per year. He had 3 actually on Saturday. So while they were all cranking home runs with these new bats, Aaron Judge had 3 with his regular bat. He had another bat on Sunday. Many of the Brewers that talked today, Christian Yelich being one of them, said it was about a lot more than the bats. We did not play good baseball. And they didn't. And so this might be, you ask these questions. Well, what happened there, guys? Was it the bats are different and better, or was it that the pitching just wasn't good? And the answer is, and it's my least favorite answer, and so I try to not ask questions to get this answer. And if I ever do, I grimace right away. Answers where the answer is, well, it's a little of both. But this case might be a little of both. It's certainly not nothing. Okay? It's certainly not nothing. 15 home runs over their first 3 games. 9 of them come from 5 different Yankees who adopted this bowling pin style of bat. But there is nothing in the rules to prevent it. It just looks different. And this is a development of the game. Look, I want to hate this because it happened against my team and I want to complain, the Brewers. But I also am under the realization that the Brewers might be bad. But this is something that we've been lamenting in baseball for years now, is that the pitching is too good, that there's too many strikeouts, that the batting average is going down, that we're not seeing guys on base enough, that it's basically a strikeout or a home run. Now, this is adding to some home runs, so it doesn't totally help that problem. But we do want to see more offense. And the design of this, again, these are home runs that are coming on maybe what would have been hard-hit balls. but now they're home runs. And when you see hard hit balls in the future, that might be on things that would have been like little bloops. And now what you might see as bloops in the future would have been on, you know, whiffs completely. So if there is a form of bat, not everybody's using it, not everybody's going to use it, and not everyone's going to be comfortable to use it. But it's a different form of bat. And if we've elevated, like, if you think of how much the pitching's changed in the last 100 years, yeah, they're coming up with different pitches and stuff, but also they're throwing 102 now for S's and G's. Back in the 70s and 80s, guys were cranking bombs when the pitchers are topping out at 89. So if the pitching has gotten better, I mean, guys, we're not changing the bat. Guys are like pre-giving themselves Tommy John so they can pitch better, and they're doing it in high school. So if the pitching is improving and constantly changing and getting better, shouldn't at some point the hitters have an opportunity to catch up with them? I don't think baseball is going to rush to eliminate this anytime soon. I actually think baseball is thrilled that they have a story that's like broken through even a little bit. That's not salary cap related. Like, hey, this is a story about the actual game. This is kind of different. Last few years, we start either with salary cap or deferred money or COVID or labor disputes. People are actually talking about the game and the runs and the bats. We'll take it. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. It is the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer,
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.